those watching the way of Facebook, we carry the privilege, a deep, deep privilege, to bring you God's Word. It is the answer to all situations, questions. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Where would we be without His Word? His mm-hmm. Word is His will. You ever want to know God's will? Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 22. That's it. Perfect. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. I want to talk to you about how to receive that which God has given. We've been on this and we've taken several, exits, so to say. But we're still on that topic. How to receive it. It meaning whatever it is God has promised you because of the shed blood of Jesus. There are seven key words to remember. And we're going to just talk about one of them. That is your thinking. Your thinking is so crucial. So crucial. It's often not the way it is. It is the way you think it is. Because the way you think it is, it's going to affect the way you react. Even if it's not the way it is at all. Sometimes people think that somebody so-and-so is talking about you, and they're not even talking about you at all. But that's if you think they are, that's going to govern your reaction, is it not? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is going to govern your reaction. So you're thinking, all right, Genesis 41. This is Joseph. Joseph is in Egypt. Joseph has interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. There are going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of really just hard times. And so God gave him a plan. Pharaoh accepted the plan and Pharaoh made him the executor of the plan. And so in verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And verse 47, and in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth plenty, like I just told you. Verse 49, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he just quit numbering how much corn he had gathered. Yeah. Did you know that's God's will for your life? Yeah. In every area of your life. Whether we're talking about peace, mm-hmm. we're talking about patience, we're talking about love, or we're talking about money. Amen. Mm-hmm. In this case, it was material. So much corn. What's the point of counting? Man. Mm-hmm. He quit numbering. For it was without number. Couldn't be numbered. Jesus. And so we're going to talk about how to receive this abundance that God has prepared for us. How to receive the abundance that's prepared for us. And there are some key words in this regard, like I said. Let's talk about the ground rules. I think I mentioned this before, but the ground rules of receiving what God has granted, has given, are, number one, the love of God is the giver, and your faith is the receiver. The love of God is the giver. God has given. For God so loved the world that He gave. Now, some people still haven't received that gift. Amen? They still haven't. The gift of Jesus. And the gift of Jesus is such that it comes in a box, and there are several other gifts in that box. Amen. That box also contains the gift of healing. Amen. The gift of the peace of mind and all kinds of other gifts. But you have to receive Him first. Yes. Okay, so your faith makes a difference. How does the faith of God receive? The faith of God speaks and acts. It speaks and it acts. If you're not speaking it, not acting like it, you do believe it, but you're not in faith yet. Faith is not the same as belief. To believe is to accept as fact without any collaborating evidence other than the source of the information. In this case, we're talking about the Bible. That's belief. You accept it as fact without any collaborating, evidence that it is fact because of your trust in the source of the information. So you believe. But faith is acting on what you believe. Acting on it. Not just believing it, acting on it. Until you start acting on what you believe, you're not yet in faith. And it is only faith that receives, not belief. That's a good starting point. But it is faith that receives from God what we want or what He has given. And the faith that receives is the faith of God. And we have it. It's granted it to us.
Amen.
And how does it act? What does the faith of God do? How does it receive? The faith of God speaks and acts what it believes. The faith of God realizes that we live in a word activated system. You've heard about motion activated. This is it's a word activated system. God created a universe by speaking words. And He has given us the power, the privilege to create our world by speaking His word. Amen.
Amen.
You don't want pain in your body? Tell it to go away. Just like God looked and it was dark and He said, light be! And light was. That's just the way it works. Amen.
Amen.
The faith of God speaks and calls those things that be not as though they were. Calls what it wants. Does not concentrate on saying what is. Somebody says, I believe in calling it the way it is. Well, if you like the way it is, well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Amen. But if you don't like the way it is, call for what you want. If you have any pets, you get out there and pet's not there, you call for the pet. Why? Because you want to come there. Hallelujah. Healing is not there, we'll call for it. Money is not there, call for it. Peace is not there, call for it. Patience is not there, call for it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Scripture for that, Romans 4. Romans 4. Look at Romans chapter 4. Verse 17. This is what Abraham did. And he is our father, father of our faith. And so we imitate him as he imitated God. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. God told Abraham that when he didn't have a child. Amen?
Amen?
Didn't have a single child. And he told him, I have made you, not gonna make you, I've already made you father of many nations. And to help Abraham flow in that, he changed his name from Abraham, Abraham. So every time somebody called his name, they were saying he was father of many nations. He called for it, called for it, called for it, called for it, called for it. And one day, Isaac showed up. Took a few years, but that wasn't God's fault. That's how the faith of God receives that which God has given. You call for it. And you keep calling for it. And calling for it. And calling for it. Till it shows up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The faith of God believes that it has what it says. The faith of God believes that it has what it says. Mark 11, 23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Be that removed, be that cast into the sea, shall not doubt himself, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. Shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. Shall believe. The people of God are missing it in the same part. We believe. If you woke us up in the middle of the night and say, do you believe? You may want to ask, believe in what? But do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah. We have no hesitation at all. We were not saying the things Jesus died for us to have. We believe. We're not saved. Faith must be in two places. Your heart and your mouth. If it's not, there's not a connection. Hallelujah. Well, look at Romans chapter 10. Let me just show you that. We've said some of these things, but sometimes God prompts us to repeat them because, you know, you're probably going to eat lunch today and you're probably not going to eat anything brand new that you have never had before, right? That's just the way it is in the Word of God. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth, so that's the talking part, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. See how they go together? It's not enough to just talk about it, got to believe. It's not enough to believe, got to talk. That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes, but that's not, that doesn't give it to you. That does not get it to you. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's when the deal is complete. Faith must be in two places. The faith of God speaks what it believes. The faith of God acts out what it believes. Hallelujah. So if you believe that God has taken care of the situation, you're not going to act worried anymore. No more worry.
Amen.
Huh? If you're still worried about it, you haven't believed and acted like God is handling it. You are still trying to handle the situation. That's what worry is. How am I going to do with this? What am I going to do? What if? And what not? Huh? When you give it to God, you refuse to worry. Worry might come, but you say, oh, no, 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 I'm not even going there. God is handling it. Glory to God. I don't have a care. I don't have a care. I've got all of them on Jesus. Mm-hmm. See, that's acting like you believe what you said. Hallelujah. Amen. If you won't say it or act on it, you don't believe it. Really, truly, biblically believe it, you don't. You mentally assent to it. Mentally, you agree that it's so, but you don't Bible believe it. Because if you Bible believe it, you would act like it. Have you heard the story of a father or mother puts a child on the kitchen sink or something, kitchen counter, and say, "Jump, I'll catch you." Huh? That child believes. Let's say dad. That child believes that dad has the muscles. That's bigger. That child knows dad has picked him up before. So the child knows, yeah, he can catch me. Child believes that. But if the child never jumps, there's no faith. Faith will cause that child to jump. Hallelujah. That's acting on what you believe. Since I believe dad's going to catch me, I'm going to jump. If you will not jump, you don't believe. Amen.
Amen.
You don't believe it. You don't Bible believe it. That's that. And this is how we receive that abundance we just read about. Part of the process. If you won't say it or act on it, you don't Bible believe it. You only mentally have assented to it that it's so. Okay. Now, here are some of this. Here are the seven words we told you about. If you don't think, and we can talk about all of them. We'll talk more about think today. If you don't think that you are entitled to what Jesus shed his blood for you to have, he still did it, but you have to think you're entitled to it. If you don't, you're not going to be expecting to have it. That's a part of the process. And therefore your faith will not kick in and work for you to receive it. Work for you to receive it even though God has given it. Should I say that again?
Yes.
If you don't think that you are entitled to what Jesus died for you to have, you're not going to be expecting to have it. Therefore, your faith will not work for you to receive it, even though God has given it. Huh? Oh, yeah. That's the path to receiving God's abundance. Starts with thinking. So we're going to talk some more about that today. And let's establish. We've done that before, but let's do it again. That God has given. It's not an issue of God giving it. He already has. Every Christian knows Jesus has already gone to the cross. Amen. We know that. We believe that. He's not going to do that anymore. Because it's not necessary for him to ever do that again. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given, his power has given unto us all things, not some, all of them. All things. That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. And that's what, as pastors and teachers and ministers, we're called, especially us who are called to teach, supposed to disseminate the knowledge that God has given and the knowledge of how to receive. That's what we're talking about. If you notice, verse 2 talks about knowledge as well. Grace and peace multiplied unto you through the knowledge. You got to have some knowledge to receive what God's given. Amen. And so God has given, and the knowledge you receive, it comes first. But first you have to think along those lines. If you don't, then you're not even on first base yet. You think all you see is all there is. You think, you know, your life is supposed to be like every other life and so forth. If you think being a Christian makes no difference, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. So the things that God has given will come through your soul. From your spirit to your soul, to your body in terms of healing, or it will manifest in your circumstances, but it comes from your spirit. But it's got to go through your mind. If you won't let it pass through, you're not going to experience it. That's where your thinking comes into play. All the things have been given to us in the realm of the spirit. All of the peace, all of the joy, everything you could ever want, desire, has already been given. Comes to your spirit, through your soul, to your circumstances. Hallelujah. Look at 3 John. Here's a scripture that lets us know that. 3 John, the little John, right before Book of Revelation. 3 John. Thank you, Jesus. He has given. 3 John, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish, I desire, I pray, above all things, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So you're going to prosper in health, to the extent that your soul prospers. So then we got to find out what's your soul? And how does it prosper? You are a three-part being. Tripartite. It's a big word for it. a three-part being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in the body. When I look at you, what I'm looking at is your house, the house you live in. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking at the real you.
Amen.
Same thing. Look at me and look at the house I live in. Mm-hmm. Which is why when I depart, I'm going to leave this house. That doesn't mean I don't exist anymore. I just left my house, my home. I'm going to show you some scriptures here in a minute. And they're going to put this in the box somewhere. That's not me. I won't be me. I'm gone. And when I go, don't try to call me back either. Because I'm in a better place. Don't want to come back. I've had my share. Done my part. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not in a rush to go back. I'm going to be here for a long time. You have a spirit. You have a soul. You live in the body. To receive what God has given, it's got to come from the spirit realm, but it must pass through your soul, through your mind. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
And your soul, your mind, is where your thinking takes place. See, that's why thinking is so important. It's the most important part of your soul, actually. Your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Your intellect. Huh? It is. It can be a great blessing and be a great curse. If you use your thinking to the devil, the things of God will not make any sense to you at all. And yet, when you yield your thinking to God, wow. But of course, yeah, of course. Of course he'll heal me. He's my father. Why wouldn't he? See that? Just by thinking that way. He's a father. You know. I'm a father, even if you're not a father or mother, you know, fathers want their children well,
yeah.
Don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's my father, so, hey, of course he wants me healed.
Mm-hmm.
See how healing becomes, he's like, what's the problem? What's the fuss? What is the fuss? My knee hurting, he doesn't want my knee to hurt, because he's a father.
Amen.
Just thinking right makes it a lot easier to receive from God. Oh, man. Somebody said that God teaches us from cancer. Would you do that to your child?
Mm-hmm.
See, that is thinking, huh? Thinking. Would you do that to your child? If so, what put you in jail? Amen? Mm-hmm. If you wouldn't do that, why would he? Why would he? Hallelujah. Thinking right allows you to receive what God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
Has a lot to do with thinking.
Yes.
A whole lot. So your soul or your mind, so your thinking takes place. Therefore, your soul or mind must prosper. That is, must be brought to think like God thinks. So that your thinking can be changed, so you can talk entitled, expect to receive what God has paid for you to have, so your faith can work and help you receive that which he has given. See, that's it right there.
Mm.
You take that blueprint and you work it. Glory to God. So, what is your soul? Your soul is a part of your tripartite being, your three-part being, your spirit. Lots of scriptures can read it. Let's just look at. Okay, slow down. Look at one scripture. Okay. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You'll see God wants us to get into some other scriptures left. Thank you, Lord. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Wholly. Whole, right? The whole of your being. So now he's going to enumerate the parts that make up the whole of your being. And therefore tell you who you really are. Sanctify you wholly. And I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body, those are the various parts of your being, be preserved, blameless, and so forth. You are a spirit, have a soul, live in a body. And your soul is the door. I've got some scriptures here, but I'm just going on. Your soul is the door between your spirit and your body. The things God has given are in the spirit realm. Your soul can get in the way. Your thinking can get in the way. And here are the parts of your soul. So there are parts of your being, your spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. And then there are parts to your soul. Four parts. Your intellect. That's where you do your thinking. And this is the part. That can be a blessing or a curse. This is probably why intellectuals, have you heard that? Intellect. Intellectuals have issues with God's, the things of God. Because they have yielded their intellect to the natural. If I can't see it, I won't believe it. See that? That's intellectual. Your intellect is a part of your soul. Your will, this is where you decide what you're going to do or not. It's part of your soul. Your emotions, your feeling center, how you emote, how you express your feelings. Okay? And then you have your imagination. When you look into the future, what do you expect? What is your future going to be like? See that? That's a part of your soul. And so these various parts must be brought under the word of God. Must yield to what God's word says in order for you to receive what he has set aside for you to receive. Amen.
Amen.
Like I said, your intellect, your thinking is the most powerful part of your soul. Here's why. What you think of the situation will affect your emotions, will it not? It will affect how you feel about it. It all begins with the way you think, the way you think the situation is. Your thinking is where you assess and reassess and calculate. All of that has to do with your thinking, your intellect. The way you think it is will affect the way you feel about it. The way your feelings are expressed about it. Why do people worry? Because they think the future looks bleak. Things are going to be awful. That's the reason for worry. If you thought God has your future in his hands, you wouldn't worry. Would you worry about it? Oh, no, you wouldn't. If you thought he had your retirement in his hands, you wouldn't worry a bit. Every time worry tried to come along, you said, no. I'm in good hands with Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why folks worry. So if you catch yourself worrying, that's what just happened. You just slipped into thinking things are going to be bad. So let's try to see what we can do about it to make them good. That's worry. You're thinking. All right. So what you think about the situation, think of the situation, will affect your emotions. I'm trying to show you that your thinking is the most powerful part of your soul. And your soul can block you from receiving what God has provided. Here's another thing about your thinking. Your thinking process will always involve your imagination. Okay? When you start playing those scenarios about, yeah, but what if? You're thinking, yeah, but what is happening if they do this and I do this and they don't do that and that doesn't happen and the Federal Reserve and the interest rates and, the doctor said this and then. When you are playing your future, you're imagining all of that is based on the way you're thinking about a situation. And there again, if you know that God has you in his hands, it makes little difference what the Federal Reserve does. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just did my yearly physical. And right before that, as the appointment was getting close, the devil tried to get me worried about it. Well, you know, you're getting up there in years now. So I said, shut up, devil. I'm not going to the doctor for him to tell me anything I don't already know. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to the doctor because it's the thing to do. It's a prudent, wise thing to do. I tell you what. See, you know what? Because of my thinking. Huh? All of that is because of my thinking. I'm thinking I am healed. I am delivered. What he's going to tell me, that doesn't make any difference to that. I'm delivered. This book says so. I'm going to see the doctor because, you know, you have to shower. You know, that's something you just got to do. Amen. Find Christians going to see the doctor and they're shaking the whole time. I hope I give you good news. This is good news. I hope he tells me what's going to be like. This book tells you what's going to be like. Amen. And all of that's impacted by your thinking. Amen. Your thinking process will always involve your imagination. Yeah, but here's another thing. Only if you think a course of action is worthwhile are you likely to set your will to pursue it. So your thinking affects your will as well. If you think a course of action is not worthwhile, you're not going to set your will to try to, you know, go that route. If you don't think so, your thinking is everything. No wonder Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Because it's going to impact everything about you. Everything. It's not even what you know. It's what you think about what you know. You can have facts in front of you and ignore them for some other reason. So we got to get through your soul. We got to get your thinking right. No wonder the Bible tells us what to think on, which means don't think of other things. If it's not good and lovely, let's look at Philippians. I believe it's Philippians chapter 2. Specifically, if it's not this, not that, don't think on it. Don't waste your time thinking about those things. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good, of good report, and of any virtue and praise, think on these things. So it's important what you think on. Basically, think on the Bible. Think on what God says. Let that inundate your thinking. Not the philosophies of men. Thank you, Father. So your thinking, that's your intellect. Your decisions, that's your will. Your feelings, that's your emotions, and your imagery, when you look ahead, all of those things have to be brought under the Word of God for you to expect. All of those things must expect abundance, must expect a certain life according to this Word. If not, you're not going to get to enjoy, even though God has given it. He's given it. He's giving it. It's up to us to receive it. Your thinking, your decisions, your feelings, your imagery, or outlook must resist lack, must resist poverty, must resist disease and sickness and so forth, must resist pain. When you get pain in your body, don't you dare think that's okay. That's normal. Because after all, you are however old you are. We're not supposed to have pain at all. Not a bit. Not a bit of it. But you think, you see, if you tolerate it, then it has a right to stay put. I sprained my ankle once playing tennis. And somebody told me, well, you know, I sprained mine once and I haven't been able to use it. I thought to myself, no, that's not me. That's not me. No. This is temporary. It is subject to change.
Amen.
Amen. See, you're thinking, your expectation. For you're fully convinced that you are the redeemed of all. Redeemed in every sense. Amen. Ah, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, how do you get to where your intellect and your will and your emotions and your imaginations are in line with this book? It's a daily, moment-by-moment process. Huh? As things come up, you got to reassert what the Bible says. Like I told you a while ago, going to see the doctor, it's thought comes to my mind, yeah, I wonder what it... Shut up, devil. I'm healed. Scripture says I'm healed. I'm delivered. He's not going to tell me anything I don't already know. And if what he tells me conflicts with this book, I'm not going to, you know, get all fussy in my mouth. And I'll say, thank you, doctor. I appreciate it. But it's my final word. Amen. And that ought to be the frame of mind of every believer. Every believer. Every single believer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. It's often irked me, you know, healing meetings and so forth. Somebody prays, someone to get healed, and then they say, you know, go to your doctor and let them confirm. This book is not subject to being confirmed by the doctor. Huh? Hallelujah. The book stands on its own. I don't confirm it. You don't confirm it. We come in line with it and receive the benefits it promises us because these are covenant benefits. Amen. And so it's a process of getting your mind renewed to the way of God, things of God. And sometimes it can moment by moment. A discouraging thought comes. You got to deal with that. Huh? Pain appears in your body somewhere. All of a sudden, you got to deal with that. You hear news from somewhere. All of a sudden, you got to deal with that. So it's a moment by moment. You cause yourself to go back to what the book says. What does the book say about that situation? And you keep on that and keep on that and keep on that. And year after year after year after year, you get to the point where you're totally convinced. Huh? Get to the point where Abraham walked. Look at Romans chapter 4. You know Abraham, God called Abraham, changed his name. But you know, it wasn't hunky-dory, right? I mean, he tried to pawn his wife off. Imagine that. Sarah, you know how pretty you are. These guys are going to want you. But they can't have you if they think you're my wife. So just tell them you're my sister. And they'll take you and I'll be alive. Sarah could have said, well, what's going to happen to me, Abe? Well, you can handle that, Sarah. I mean, twice he tried to do it. He didn't consider that the God that told him he was going to be father of many nations could handle the situation. Mm-hmm. And so he wavered. But then he finally got to the point, Romans 4:20. Where he staggered not. Mm. Huh?
Amen.
He staggered no more. at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, not weak, strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. Well, you, if you can be fully persuaded, that means you can be partially persuaded. And we have to get to the point where we are fully persuaded. Somebody says, you know, God has the power. He can hear me if he wants to. See that you're not even halfway persuaded yet. You're thinking God's got to do it. When God says, I've already done it. By his stripes, you were healed. You're saying, well, he's going to do it. How are you going to say he's going to do something that's already done? We'll get to the point where we're fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Not partially. Fully persuaded that healing is mine. In fact, you get to the point where you go beyond healing and now you're standing for divine health. What is that? Well, you don't even get sick to begin with. See, that's so far out. Did Jesus ever have a cold, you think? Pneumonia? Arthritis? He never got sick. Never. Never. I said never. And he was a man like we are. He just was so fully persuaded. Totally committed. My. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it's a process. Okay? And look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, right there, 12. Here's the process. I'm getting to where you are fully persuaded that what Jesus promised, you are entitled to. See, you don't have a sense of entitlement until you're fully persuaded. Your ticket entitles you to admission, does it not?
No.
Huh?
Mm.
What's the ticket? The blood of Jesus.
Mm.
My goodness.
Amen.
You buy a ticket to go see that play, like Greg bought a ticket for me once, a couple times. Spoke Broadway thing of Lion, the Lion King. He told me about it. Like, how is that going to do Mufasa? How is that going to work? And he persuaded me, so I'll give you the ticket. So he did. I went. I'm like, wow, really? This is good. This is great. I thought, whoa. Okay. Well, the ticket entitled me to entry, didn't it? I had a ticket. The ticket is the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. It entitles you to healing and health. It's an entitlement. Hallelujah. You're entitled to free speech as an American citizen. Entitled to it. You're entitled to health as a citizen of heaven. But see, you got to know that and you got to contend for it.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord. And Romans 12. Did we go there here? Here's the process. Here's the process. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Don't think like it does. Again, like I said earlier, most people going to see the doctor full of anxiety, full of worry. Oh, I hope I get some good news. I hope. See, that's the world. That's the way the world thinks. You, as a child of God, shouldn't think like that. Ah, goodness. How far, far, far beneath our place we are. Now, I'm not knocking doctors. Amen. Luke was a doctor. He wrote the book of Luke and wrote the book of Acts. You know, he was a physician. I've got a doctor, you know, so far. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying, when it comes down, when the rubber meets the road, this is what counts. And so, why not take this with you when you go to see the doctor, is all I'm saying. Or the banker, anybody else, or the counselor. Take the book with you in your heart and in your mouth. Not just in your heart, heart and mouth. Heart and mouth. Hallelujah. So don't be conformed to the world. Don't think like it does. Be ye transformed. Huh? Not conformed, but transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Getting out all the junk in your mind before you got born again, by the way things ought to be. And filling that void, what this book says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Huh? Think intellect. Your thinking must be different. I have a Father in heaven that loves me. He's intimately acquainted with me. He knows when one hair of my head falls. He cares for the sparrows. How much more? Me. Hallelujah. He's got me covered. That must be your thinking. I don't know tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. I'm in good hands with Jesus. Don't care what happens. You must think like that. It's easier to receive the benefits that Jesus died for us to have. Amen. But if you think like the world, you know, this is where folks start talking about luck and good luck and bad luck and all that. Luck means it's happenstance. It may happen, it may not. You may get healed, you may not. You may prosper, you may not. Good luck, bad luck, good luck, charm, and then they add charms to it. Now they're really getting the devil's trouble, are they not? The Christian thinks, this is not happenstance. I'm not here by just some random, you know. God loves me. He has an individual plan for my life. Hallelujah. He's looking after me. He's assigned angels to me. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. They are seed, begging bread. Glory to God. See, that takes luck out of the picture completely. Who wants to be lucky when they are blessed? My goodness. The blessing of the Lord, make it rich, and add it no sorrow. I'll take that. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. But you gotta, this is a new process of thinking. You gotta think differently now. Think along the lines of the Bible. God, who loves you, provides for you, protects you, knows your future, has a wonderful plan for your life. All you have to do is follow the plan. Amen. Amen. And this is where Christian parents, instead of having kids, go to some aptitude test. We should lean more towards finding out what is God's will for this child. Amen. And point him in that direction. Hallelujah. By the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. And this is what we're getting into. Are you fully persuaded, or partly persuaded, or partially persuaded? You get to where you have the perfect will of God when you're fully persuaded. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Jesus died. Yeah, he did. He shed his blood. Yeah, he did. He was resurrected. Yeah, he did. Did that for me. Yeah, he did. Amen. Now, here's the key here. Thank you, Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 5. What time is it? Matthew chapter 5. Here must be, we'll talk about your thinking. Here's your attitude toward God's word. Some folks have read this in the past, and they've had all kinds of sermons about this and the Beatitudes and all of that, and it sounds so theological and so forth. I want some practical stuff. Okay? Look at the Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. It's not talking about meek, meek towards you. It's talking about meek towards this book. It is always right. And I am only right if I agree with it. If I disagree with it, I'm always wrong. See, that's meekness. Where I elevate it above me, huh? It decides what I do to the best of my ability. I am meek. I put myself under it. That's what it's talking about. Not meek as in, oh, you know, you don't have to look anybody in the face. You want to look down, you know. That's not what it's not talking about that. Look at James. Let me show you this. Connection with that. James. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm glad I came to church this morning. Hallelujah. If I knew it was going to be this good, I would have gotten here earlier. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Where is the book of James? By Hebrews. James chapter 1. If you're there already. My. James chapter 1, verse 19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear God's word, that is, slow to speak anything else, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Read out and get to this point. Receive with meekness, there's that word again. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Allow this word to be so buried in you that it governs your entire life. And be meek before it. Let it be your boss. Let it call the shots. Let it call the place of your life. Amen. That's the path to receiving what God has for us. That's where we must think. I've said it before, I say it again. We don't do it according to our culture. American, African, black, white, none of that. We do it according to this book. That's meekness. That's receiving the word with meekness. And it says, if you do that, it is able to save your soul. It is able to get your soul in line with God's promise and God's word, which makes it a lot easier for you to receive the abundance that God has for you. Receive the engrafted word. So how do you save your soul? By conforming your thinking to God's word. Making sure. Now, of course, your thinking is going to start to go, is going to try to go all sorts of other ways. But you bring it back. Huh? You bring it back. What does the Bible say? That's a good question you ought to always ask yourself in every situation. What does the Bible say about this? And if you don't know it, find out. Or talk to someone you think knows. In the final analysis, you find out, right? Because the person might, you might think they know, but they don't know anymore, any better than you do. You've been to school, you can read. You have the Spirit of God in you. You are His child. He can talk to you. Amen. In fact, I'm standing here talking to you in terms of whether or not what I'm saying is so or not. He's the one bearing witness in your spirit about it. Hallelujah. Question is, what does the word say about it? Words express thoughts. Huh? Thoughts give action. Words express thoughts and give action to thoughts. Have you ever thought about that? Your words express what you've been thinking. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have to ever say anything until you've thought about it. Yeah, but someone's flippant. Flippant just means you took very little time to think. It doesn't mean you didn't think at all. Huh? It meant you took just too little time to think. But you always think before you speak. Because thoughts, that's where it begins. Your words express your thoughts. And then give action to what you said. Which is why it's so important to make sure our thoughts are controlled by God's word. Words also control thoughts. The devil is trying to bombard you with things. Don't sit there and just let it turn over your mind and open your mouth and tell the devil to get lost. You can't combat thoughts with thoughts. Not going to work. The devil will always defeat you. Huh? If you're sitting there trying to deal with this thought in your mind you don't like by just thinking about it and No. Open your mouth and declare God's word. Words supersede thoughts. God's word, that is. So, words control thoughts. Therefore, they control actions that would have resulted from those thoughts. Words also control thoughts. If something comes to your mind that you don't agree with, doesn't agree with God's word, when you speak God's word, it deals with that thought. And therefore deals with the action of those thoughts left unchallenged would have led you to do. Somebody say, hey, well, he's a fine looking woman. Oh, you better deal with that thought. There's a fine looking guy. You gotta deal with that thought. Huh? See, often now it's in your mind. If you don't say something about it, guess what? Those thoughts are going to, next thing you know, you're like, how did I get here? Hallelujah. Yeah, it's a fine looking woman, but that's not my wife. That's not my husband. See, that deals with that, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Just like that. But if you don't deal with that, it's a tendon in your mind, huh? And it churns and churns and churns, it's not going to stop there. That was just the beginning. Mm-hmm. Huh? The devil threw that thought in your mind to get you to let it sit there and take root so you can eventually act on it. That was the goal the whole time. And if you let it sit there, you are going to act on it. Because you would have taken root. So, weed it out. By speaking to it. No. Don't just think that. Say it. Huh? Words counter thoughts that you don't want. Okay, time's up. Time's up. So, lastly, this for today, that is, at least, you must think, I am not the poor trying to get by. Huh? You must think, I am the rich who is being robbed. Again, you're thinking, I'm not the poor trying to get by. Jesus died for me. Huh? Said it. For you know, the law of our Lord Jesus, for though he was poor, yet for your sakes, he died that he might make you rich. So I'm not the poor trying to get by and see what I can do. No, I'm the rich. I'm being robbed. See, you're thinking. You get mad about it. Ah, glory. Get mad about it. And next thing you know, you're going to do what it takes to stop the devil from robbing you. Amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We bless you. You're so good. So wonderful. Such a loving Father. You have provided for us. You protect us. You love us. You forgive us. You encourage us. You have patience with us. You lead us on. You give us hope. Oh my. And then some. We could never describe exactly how good you are. Hallelujah. We thank you for the privilege of having this relationship with you. We thank you for counting us worthy and appointing us to be messengers of the gospel, the good news. Oh, good news, good news. The Savior is available to be had. For free. For free, by faith. There are plenty of people around us. People we meet in the grocery stores. Neighbors. Acquaintances that don't know that a Savior is available to be had. That He'll save us from the guttermost to the uppermost. This is our privilege. We take it seriously, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to share the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for David. Thank you that he will never be the same after today. Never, 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 never. Hallelujah. Because of your presence. Because of the prayer we prayed for him. Because we agree, if two shall agree, glory to God, and we agree. And we're not coming out of that agreement either. Well, thank you for his deliverance. Thank you for his phone. Thank you, Father. That his memory is blessed. Thank you for his housing. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said?
Amen.
Do you know Jesus, friend? If you don't, it's a good time to do it. Don't put it off. Receive him right now. You've waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. Do it now. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now. I receive my prayer language. I receive your goodness, your kindness, your forgiveness, your tenderness, your mercy, your patience. I receive Jesus today as my Lord and Savior. I receive a better way of life today. Thank you for being my guide through life from now on. Lead me to a church, dear God, that will teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Amen. And if you prayed that, he did exactly what you asked him to do, because he's been wanting to do it for the longest time. And so he will begin to lead you and guide you. I encourage you to walk with him and enjoy the life you promised. He's not a man that he should lie. He promised the abundant life, and he can deliver. Amen. Amen. All right. If you live anywhere in the Austin area, come see us. Plenty of room here for you. If not, keep watching. Because we'll be back here at the same time next week. Love you, and we'll see you next time.